Track 2. Warning Signs. Situational factors or the environment may play a part in facilitating the onset of an abusive relationship. In pointing this out, I remove no responsibility from the therapist. The responsibility of the abuse lies with the therapist because the removal of constraints is planned by this professional. Here are three examples of situational factors being manipulated by the therapist to remove constraints. First, Mary's therapist told her to make a late appointment after the secretary had left. In another instance, he knew that her husband had moved out following the divorce. He invited himself to her house for a cup of tea. In a third situation, he invited her to his house to read a copy of the play he had written on a weekend when his wife and two children were in another city visiting relatives. Regarding those situational factors, it might be interesting to note at this time that the literature suggests that lower incidences of client abuse by social workers as opposed to psychiatrists and other mental health professionals might be attributed to their work situation. The work situation for a social worker working for an agency is often the setting of a busy public office. A second warning sign, as mentioned earlier, is client vulnerability. Attachment theory plays a major role here, as you might guess. Children develop attachments to their parents, siblings, and other family members, as you know. The quality of these attachments depends on a number of factors, including the consistency and availability of the main parent figure or primary caretaker. As was the case with Mary, during her first 3 years, she was exposed to repeated parental absence, emotional unavailability, and abuse. She thus developed a tendency for anxious attachments with clinging behavior and fears of being separated from significant others. She learned about this earlier abuse from her aunt. This abuse led to her tendency to cling to important others, be possessive, and fear abandonment. As you know, relationships based on such characteristics are sometimes called symbiotic, meaning that there is a psychological fusion of two people. The symbiotic relationship, in some cases codependent relationships, allows the person to avoid re-experiencing the vulnerabilities and anxieties of childhood, thus causing a power imbalance with others. A person is more likely to form a symbiotic relationship with a mental health professional. As a result, they end up idealizing the professional, clinging to them, and fearing abandonment. Sound familiar, perhaps, with some of your clients? Specifically in the case of Mary, she was unable to leave the relationship even though it was damaging and exploitive. Kenneth Pope, who wrote Sexual Involvement with Therapist, indicates connections between childhood abuse and symbiotic or codependent relationships with an abusive therapist almost seems to orchestrate the client's enslavement. However, many of the clients we treat have had abusive childhoods, but what is different in the case of an abused client? The literature seems to indicate a traumatic transference often occurs at a certain level. I define a traumatic transference as an intrusive life or death quality of the reaction by a survivor or childhood trauma to a person in authority. The survivor's emotional responses have been changed by experiences of perhaps terror and helplessness. Abused clients cast the mental health professional sometimes in the role of omnipotent rescuer. However, at the same time, they state their mistrust of them. Mary stated many doubts, suspicions, and feelings that she had to try to control the therapist by giving in to his sexual advances. No doubt with Mary, the four warning signs indicated by Pope came into play. First, Mary's idealization of the professional. Second, her wish for an omnipotent rescuer. Third, her intense feelings bound up in the relationship. And last, her impression that the survival of the treatment relationship was a life or death matter. All four of these factors led to the power entrapment of a childhood trauma victim with an abusive professional. Question 6. What are four warning signs that a client may be vulnerable to an abusive balance of power? This CD has primarily explored balancing power concerning the violation of the personal contact boundary by therapists regarding their clients. As mentioned at the beginning of this CD set, the Institute selected this topic as a result of a survey conducted of professional licensure boards in several states. The boards were asked what ethical area they would select as being of the greatest priority. We as therapists would like to think that mental health professionals taking sexual advantage of their clients is not a problem. However, as indicated in this CD series, when a client comes to you with allegations of sexual impropriety, hopefully this knowledge base will be of assistance to you. Topics covered have been rationalizations, attitude assessment exercise, the power imbalance, client hurdles, the normal imbalance of power, warning signs, risk factors, exploitive therapy relationships, how the shift occurs, parallels with other forms of abusive relationships, realization of the truth, intervention techniques, facilitating healing, and breaking the silence. Thank you for your purchase of this home study course. It is hoped that this learning experience will prove to be a valuable one for you, and you received information that enhances your professional growth. This is Catherine Appleton. Talk to you again in another home study course.